Hello, sunshine, and welcome to the show. I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Happy Friday, Eve. Hope you showed up thirsty for some knowledge, because we have plenty of it to serve. Now, we did have some major breaking news yesterday. For the first time in more than a year, there will be a reprieve from war in Gaza. The Israeli government and Hamas agreeing to a deal to pause the fighting in the enclave, with Hamas set to release some hostages abducted during its deadly October 7th terror attack on Israel. Our reporters are all over the story. We will take a deep dive into it on tomorrow's show. We start first in California, where the Eaton and Palisades fires have been ranked as the first and second most destructive in Southern California history, respectively. That's according to officials at Cal Fire. So far, the total area burned by the Palisades, Eaton, and Hearst fires is roughly 60 square miles, an area larger than Paris. Cal Fire says the Palisades fire, which has spread to more than 23,000 acres, is around 18% contained, and the Eaton fire, which has burned more than 14,000 acres, is roughly 35% contained. Firefighters are still facing challenging conditions in their battle against the wildfires, with powerful winds picking up midweek. The National Weather Service in Los Angeles urged residents in the county to remain on high alert, and red flag warnings remained in place. But we are seeing some reports that bring hope. Conditions are looking up by the end of the week. Winds are expected to calm, and welcomed humidity could ease those dry conditions that contributed to the blazes by Friday. After nearly 2 weeks of the wildfires raging in intense conditions, the destruction and damage has been absolutely heart-wrenching. Officials say more than 24 people have perished in the fires, and some communities have been almost completely decimated. While the focus still remains on beating back and containing the fires, many are beginning to return home to see what's left while wondering what's next. CNN's Bill Weir shows us how one Southern California community is reckoning with the monumental task of rebuilding.
In the parched hills northeast of LA, the Eaton fire cut a brutal swath across multiple cities and different kinds of communities. The Elliott Arts Magnet School is in the Pasadena School District and draws gifted public school kids from the area, and the area is decimated.
Block after block of Altadena turned to ash, broken up by the occasional oasis of survival.
Like this end of Calavera Street that was saved when a retired fire captain and a TV set designer and son formed a bucket brigade as embers burned holes in their clothes.
I mean, it was so hot. I had to come down off the ladder and just stick my hands in the bucket, put the water on the back of my neck, and go back up the ladder.
John and his neighbor Kevin, a music festival producer, are now putting out hot spots as their relief is tempered with worries about the future.
This is the kind of neighborhood where a family leaves out all their extra citrus and avocado for anyone to help themselves. Dan is the handyman who lives here, who tells me about 40 of his families have lost their homes. This is a mixture of scientists from Jet Propulsion Laboratory and set designers, costume, makeup people from Hollywood. The kind of place where they have tiny art galleries so kids can share their creation. And the strength of this community will go a long way when it comes to recovery. The question is, how many people still want in?
There's going to be people that leave. It's going to be tough to live here. This is not going to get fixed overnight. It's going to take years, if not a decade, to feel like it was.
We've lost school down the street, churches, a lot of schools up north. We drove around yesterday for the first time, and I mean, it's devastating. I mean, it's bleak.
But they also focus on what's left.
They've been laying eggs.
Like feeding the neighbors chickens that somehow survived a frying, and the flocks of wild birds that now need their bird feeders more than ever.
They love it. We feel the feeders went empty. They go empty every 2 days, and they go empty at the end of every day now.
Wow.
We fed the crows. The crows came in this morning. We gave them apples.
Yeah, but the birds are part of the community too, right? So you want it's nice having them around.
They're nice having them around, you know, and it's a little sign of hope.
Yeah.
You know, which we all need right now.
Pop quiz, hot shot. The Maltese cross, a medieval symbol of honor, is known around the world as an emblem of what service? Police officers, firefighters, doctors, or paramedics? Your answer here is firefighters, who adorn their fire trucks, badges, and gear with the symbol that originated during the Crusades. Many of us know that firefighters aren't just heroes for fighting fires. They answer the call on a number of emergencies like car accidents, natural disasters, and some specially trained firefighters could also be called ice fighters. With winter weather freezing over ponds in Kentucky, the Lexington Fire Department Special Ops firefighters gear up in sub-zero dry suits and simulate emergency rescue scenarios in the hopes of saving lives. And we are getting a close-up look at how these firefighting ice specialists train. CNN affiliate WLEX takes us there.
A day on the water is more life-saving than relaxing for this crew. With area ponds finally frozen over, Special Ops firefighters have the chance to train for a worst-case winter scenario.
And for us in the Lexington Fire Department, what's GO mean? It's you guys trained, dressed, properly equipped, going in.
Huddled around Captain Ryan Hogston, dressed in expensive dry suits, firefighters learn the rules of ice rescue, rules that also apply to the public.
Find somebody that's stuck on the ice. We go by a thing called reach, throw, and go.
Once you've called 911, reach out to the victim with a stick, a ladder, anything you can find. Throw a rope or something to grab onto, and go. That's the firefighter's cue to jump into action. Hogston says ice emergencies can happen easier than you'd think.
Just last year, we had an animal get out there and a person went out to try to get him and fell through the ice, and that was the whole thing.
But not every department is equipped to respond. Of the 600 firefighters with the LFD, only about 10% are trained for this type of rescue.
These guys are regular firemen also, but also have an extra 400 hours of rescue training to be able to do these type of scenarios.
If they can save even one person, the training is worth it. And on a day like today, a little break from the pressure of real life emergencies, well, that's priceless.
Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, is a space race that's 3, 2, 1, blast off. It's mission moon landing for two private space companies. Early this morning, a SpaceX rocket launched a pair of lunar landers from Texas-based Firefly Aerospace and Tokyo-based iSpace. This is Firefly's first attempt at a successful landing, and iSpace is making a second attempt after its first lander's unsuccessful crash blasted a divot in the surface of the moon in 2023. CNN's Ashley Strickland explains the new beginnings of the new lunar space race and what's to come in 2025.
Like Wally stowing away with Eve, 2025 is kicking off with two competing space companies launching lunar landers together. A SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket will carry vehicles developed by Texas-based Firefly Aerospace and Japan-based iSpace. This launch marks the first attempt by Firefly to put a vehicle on the moon. If successful, Firefly's lander, called Blue Ghost, will touch down about 45 days after liftoff along a mountainous structure called Mons Littrae. The vehicle will then conduct science experiments, utilizing technology that could be used for future lunar missions. For iSpace, it's a second chance to achieve success after its failed 2023 attempt. That's when its lander crashed and blasted a divot in the moon's surface due to navigation issues. The upgraded Hakuto R spacecraft, named Resilience, will take a much slower path than its launch partner, taking 4 to 5 months to reach the moon.
Fascinating to see the race to conquer the next frontier taking place, and great to see different countries working in harmony along the way. Now it's time for our best part of the show, the shout out, and we are sending some love to the Jayhawks at Urbandale Middle School in Urbandale, Iowa. Thank you for watching the show. Fun fact, if you're wondering why you have never seen a Jayhawk in person, it's because it's a mythical creature combining the blue jay and the sparrowhawk. It originated in the U.S. Midwest in the mid to late 1800s, but in 1912, a cartoonist gave it shoes for stomping the competition, and that's when it started to become desirable as an official school mascot like the one we see at the University of Kansas. Jayhawk rock, y'all. Have an awesome day. I'm Coy Wire. I'll see you right back here tomorrow on Friday.